Thank you, praise team. What a blessing it is to have you guys to put together songs that really speak to this day. How great is our God? Hallelujah. If you've ever been here before, you know that I get emotional. And mercy today, going to be tough. But also, what a praise. I just want to point out a couple of things to you here today. I'm so glad to have the EMT ambulance guys here with us today because they go through more than we could ever imagine. And they were there that day that I went out to see the scene. And just we appreciate you so much for all that you do. Well, I'm going to do my best here, so just be praying for me if you would. You may get tired of me telling you that there are certain things that we've always said that are not always accurate. For example, if you've been here any length of time at all, you know that I believe that phrase that we often say, God won't give you any more than you can handle, I believe to be totally false. And here's the reason why. I believe God does give you more than you can handle, so that you never have to wonder who's handling it. I truly believe that. Another one that I have put down before is this one. The devil made me do it. Well, I want you to know that every time that we sin, every time that we fall into sin, it is a choice that we make. The devil may have tempted you, but he didn't make you do it. So today we're going to do another one, all right? So by the time that we're done with this, you'll just never feel comfortable saying anything ever again. But I hear this so much, especially in situations like this with Dylan. Everything happens for a reason. And I want you to know, I read this, and I believe it to be true. God's plan is never for someone to have cancer, or an innocent child to be brutally murdered, or a teenage girl to be raped, or anything that we can think of that's just horrific. That is never God's plan, and he doesn't cause those things to happen for some undefined reason. God's will is never chronic pain or illness or disability or death. So why do we have these things? Well, I want to encourage you to try to remember this. Stop saying something like, well, everything happens for a reason, and start saying this. God can make a reason out of anything that happens. Anything that happens, God can use it. And I don't want to dwell on this, but just look around you here today. This day, this crowd is assembled for a reason, but God didn't create this situation in order to get you here necessarily. But because it happened, he got you here. And I praise God for that. Nothing ever happens outside of God's knowledge. Some things are good, some things are bad, but the things that do happen, he can use to accomplish his purposes. Now, I want you to know this. Nobody is here accidentally today. Not one of you is here accidentally. It was God's will that you be here. Now, I also believe that there are many others out there who didn't come today, that it was God's will that they be here this morning. But, you know, every time we meet in this place, every single time we meet here, it is God's desire that particular people would be here. And he calls them, but sometimes they resist. I believe it's why God gives us as pastors messages to share with you, because God is using, there's been times, I'll tell you what, he gave me a message and I think, what is this about? And I'm sure many of you leave here sometimes wondering the same thing. But I believe this in my heart. God gives us messages because somebody sitting out here needs to hear it. Somebody. And also, I think this person can hear it one way and this person can hear it another, and it's just totally interpreted differently by different people. And I truly have walked out of here on Sunday mornings and thought, mercy sakes, what a flub that was. And then I'll have somebody come up to me and say, that really spoke to me. And then I'll have other times I'll think, boy, I got something really good put together here. And I want you to know, nothing that I ever put together is good. It's only from God. And nothing happens on those days. And so I just never know. But anyway, today we celebrate a couple things. We celebrate the baptisms of two people, and we also celebrate Dylan's recovery. And both of these events are double-edged swords, and I want to tell you why. the baptisms, because there are some here today that need to make the same decision that June and Cheryl made, and they keep putting it off. Like, we've got all the time in the world to make that decision, and they keep putting it off. Or there are people that you are praying for to make this decision, and for whatever reason, they haven't made a move. So for that reason, a joyous baptism can also be bittersweet for some. And I want to throw this in before I forget. I believe it was 10 years ago that I was privileged to baptize this young man in a very cold stock tank out here in the middle of the yard after we'd left a very small sanctuary. And because of that, I had great peace throughout this whole thing. You know, I just want you to know that. But his recovery, and I'm not going to talk about you all day, Dylan, I promise, okay? His recovery has been celebrated far and wide. I mean, truly, people that you have no idea have seen posts that people have put on and different things like that, and they recognize this as a miracle, and it is. Now, I don't mind telling you this now, but on September the 15th, when Evan and I drove down to the hospital, I kept rehearsing in my mind, what am I going to say to this family? I also prayed that God would preserve his life. And later that night, and many of you were there, when they walked in and they said, we find no life-threatening injuries. And I tell you what, I don't know if I've ever heard more beautiful words than that in my entire life. Okay, I'm mostly done with you. Okay. Even that, though, is bittersweet. Even the miracle that we've seen, the miracle that each and every one of you have experienced, whether you know it or not, is bittersweet, because sitting out here in this congregation today, I guarantee you, there are people who have offered up similar prayers for similar situations, for healing, for protection, for preservation of life, and those prayers weren't answered in the way that we wanted them to be answered. Did God take the loved ones of some and heal others for some undefined reason that everything happens for? Or that so he could try us out to see just how much you can handle? No. I will never believe that God hurts some families and heals others just to see how we're going to react. But I do believe how we react is important. And I asked Chuck to read this verse, which I think sums up everything. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, and I want you to see what, you know, we know what the word all means, but it means all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. All things, every horrible thing that happens to us can be used to accomplish a good purpose. I really, of course, hesitate to gear any message toward a particular event or to a particular audience, but I really believe that this church and this community has been so occupied with this for 52 days, and the life and the recovery that we see are miracles, and there are answers to prayers, and there's nobody here today that doesn't need to have that affirmed. So we're going to look today at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, and I don't know how many of you signed up for a workout this morning, but I ask you one more time to stand up as we read from God's Word. 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 through 18. And it reads like this, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. So many special things going on today. The baptisms, and that's brought in a lot of guests, and we're very glad to have you here. I do want you to know that because of the crowd, it may be harder for us to get around and say we're glad you're here. So I want to make sure to say that from this spot. We are so glad for each and every one of you to be here. We've got a 60th anniversary celebration that's going to be 2 weeks long. And that's brought us guests. And we're so glad to have your family here with us today. And then, of course, we've got this. And a lot of you are here to support and to continue to support. And that's one of the things that I always like to say. This community is just incredible, truly incredible. And I don't mean just Bethany. I've seen it at Ridgeway. I've seen it at Gilman. I've seen it at Pattonsburg. I've seen it all over the place where people gather around to support. But I think a lot of times what we do is we support and think, boy, we've got our job done. I'll go home now. We need to continue to support, continue to pray, continue to love. And that's, that's really, I guess, that's the message in a nutshell. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul is writing here to his young protege, his young pastor and training friend, who is Timothy. And Paul began this particular writing back in verse 6 of chapter 4, this particular thought, by saying that Paul's death was at hand. He was being poured out as a drink offering. He was going to die soon, and he knew that. And he's telling everyone he has no regrets. I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. And he knew that the crown of righteousness, which can only come from Jesus himself, because righteousness cannot be imparted through any act that we've done or anything that we say, only through Jesus. And he knew that. And then he wrote about certain ones who had forsaken him. And I didn't include that in today's message. We don't need to talk about people that have forsaken us, but we've probably all had somebody who just walked out on us. And he asked Timothy here for help. Well, during the course of my lifetime, like I've said, I've seen how communities step up and to help others in time of need, but I'm pretty sure I've never seen anything quite like this one. But still at the beginning, Paul felt betrayed, as I'm sure many of us have in the past. And verse 16 again says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. And I think a lot of times we're kind of guilty of saying things like that. Where's everybody when you need them? Why'd everybody walk out on me? Where's the help I need when I need it? But then notice what Paul said at the end of this. May it not be charged against them. See, when Paul was first hauled before the authorities, nobody stood with him. I know we felt like that before, when everything seems to be going wrong. The whole world seems to be against you. And our first impulse, or at least mine, I confess, a lot of times is anger against those who weren't there when we needed them. And you know what? Many times, our anger is directed at God, probably more than anything else. Where was he? Why would he allow things like this to happen? And we decide that we're done with God because he didn't do what we wanted. But I want you again to notice Paul's reaction here. He says, may it not be charged against them. Yes, they abandoned me. Yes, they betrayed and forsook me. Yes, they hurt me. But don't charge it against them. Don't hold them against them. Hold that against them. And you know, Paul, like so many of us, learns by watching other people. And I believe that Paul probably first heard words very much like that back in Acts chapter 7, when he stood holding the garments of people. He held the coat so that I could throw a rock and hit Stephen and kill him. As many people gathered around to kill Stephen for one reason, because he preached the truth of Jesus Christ. And the people were outraged, and Paul gathered up their coats and held them while people threw rocks at Stephen until he died. You talk about being forsaken. How must Stephen have felt? But do you know what he said? As he was being pelted with rocks, as his life was flowing out of him, Stephen said this, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And Paul heard that. And I really believe this. I don't think you'll find it necessarily in Scripture, but I believe that's when Paul's seed was first planted. The Damascus Road later was a big deal, for sure, but I think this is where he first saw the grace and the mercy that comes from knowing Jesus, was in Stephen. Well, Stephen's model, of course, was Jesus himself, because Jesus is nailed to the cross. He'd been beaten beyond recognition, and as he was up there on that cross and the people were walking by and making fun of him and spitting at him and calling him names, what did he say? Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they do. How could they know if they haven't heard? Well, it amazes me how this morning, as I was on my way to church, a wide load semi pulled out in front of us and proceeded to go up Hospital Hill at 10 miles an hour. I'm not exaggerating. 10 miles an hour, you know. And, of course, it took him a while. And then, of course, the light turned red out here like it always does when I'm coming through it. And I have trouble sometimes being forgiving and loving in those circumstances. We sometimes have trouble forgiving somebody because they vote differently than we do, or because they said something hurtful, or because they didn't say hi to me when I walked down the aisle at Walmart. And we have trouble forgiving that. Or at least, again, I do. And these three examples that I just shared with you are people who forgave much greater sins against themselves. And I know it's hard in the midst of a great trial to offer forgiveness, but I also think it's obvious that that is what God calls us to do. I said earlier, our anger is often directed at God. And this is so ironic to me. It's harder for us sometimes to forgive God, who forgives us everything if we ask, and yet we can't forgive God sometimes when things bad happen to us. One of the things that I often say at a funeral, when people have lost a loved one, and it's tough, it just is. I don't care how old they are, if they're 98, it's still tough to give up a loved one. And I often ask people to focus on what they've been given instead of what's been taken away. And I know that's a small consolation to somebody who's lost a loved one, but think about this. God gave them to you in the first place. You got to have them for X amount of years. And it hurts to say goodbye, but did you ever say thank you for what you've given him, what he's given you? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every child, these precious children that we have here, comes from God. Every possession, your house, your car, your clothes, your phone, all those things, literally, I know you paid for them, but how'd you get the abilities to make the money that you used to pay for them? They all came from God. Every talent that you have, mercy, I would have loved to have been a basketball player. I never was, never could be. But I wanted to be like everybody else, you know, and I didn't have that talent. Well, every talent that we do have, no matter what it is, whatever you're good at, God gave that to you. And I absolutely believe that. Well, if we're going to blame him for taking something away from us, we also need to give him credit and thanks for what he's given to us. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21, Job said this, and it's so out of context, I got to tell you just a little bit. Job lost all of his children, all of his possessions. He lost everything all in one day. One guy would just get through telling him that the house had fallen in on his kids when another guy comes in and says, your livestock have all been taken away. They're all dead, you know. And this is what he said. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh my goodness, if I could have that kind of just faith in God. Verse 17 from today's passage says, But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And this was really where this kind of came from. So that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, first of all, even when your closest friends don't stand by you, God does. Not only does he stand by you, he strengthens you. And this past few weeks, I know, have been evidence of that for many, many people who could not have endured what they've endured without the strength from the Lord. Now, I want to make it clear, this does not say God will protect you from ever going through a trial, or that God will keep you from ever getting sick or ever having an accident. But when those things happen, and they will, he strengthens you. He gets you through the things that you wish you didn't have to go through. Many times as I've sat in waiting rooms or by hospital beds or whatever, I've wondered this. Where do people who don't know God, where do people who've never met Jesus, where do they turn in times like this? How can they know? that there's hope if they don't know the Lord. When atheists get together later this month to celebrate Thanksgiving, who are they thanking? It just amazes me that they'll get together and they'll have turkey and all that kind of stuff, but to whom are they giving thanks? If healing comes to someone that you love, to whom do you give thanks if you don't believe? And if healing doesn't come, how can you possibly stand without God standing beside you, holding you up? Praise God, believers, we don't have to stand alone. And then Paul says that God stood by him, God protected him for a purpose, that the gospel message might be fully preached, even to non-believing Gentiles. And we'll be talking more about that in just a minute. And then Paul says he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And that could refer to lots of different things that Paul went through. He went through beatings and stonings himself and different things. But I think it also can refer to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where we're told, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And Paul says he was delivered from the mouth of the lion. I want you to know this, just like I said earlier, the devil didn't make you do it. The devil has no power over us that we don't allow. And quite honestly, sometimes we invite his power in. Verse 18, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now again, this doesn't say that nothing evil will ever happen, but it does say that God will deliver you in the midst of those bad things. Just like I have lots of different favorite Bible verses, I also have lots of different contemporary Christian songs. And one of my current favorites, which I'm hoping we'll get to hear tonight, is "Trust in You" by an artist by the name of Lauren Daigle. And it says in part, "To God, when you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through." Well, sometimes, folks, he doesn't move that mountain. Sometimes he doesn't part the waters. But it doesn't mean that he's not still standing there by you. He is there, and he will deliver you. But I want you to know this. Every mountain that I've ever wanted moved out of my life that wasn't moved, I've learned something from that. I've grown from it. And every time I feel like the water's right up to here and I'll never make it through, he's delivered me through that. And here's the deal, folks. Even if I hadn't survived those times, even if your loved one didn't survive the trial, he's still there, standing beside you. One of my favorite movies, and I watch it every year, around D-Day, and the title of the movie is Saving Private Ryan. And I know if you've seen it, there's parts that are hard to sit through because they're gory, and there's blood and guts, and quite honestly, there's a little bit of soldier language in there too. So if you've never seen it, and you run home and watch it, and you say, "Bruce told me this is a great movie," just be prepared, okay? But I love to watch it because my dad was there, not necessarily on D-Day, but he went through this, and he got shot. And I see it. I see the things that he went through when I watch this movie. And the movie's purpose, this is spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but the mission of these men is to find the one surviving brother named Ryan, last name Ryan. His three other brothers were killed in battle. And so they send these guys out to find Private Ryan. And in the process of saving Private Ryan, many died. Many people lost their lives, including the character played by Tom Hanks. And just before Tom Hanks dies, he grabs Private Ryan by the collar and he says, "Earn this." The point being, you're being saved for a purpose. Make sure it's a good one. Seek it out. Find out what God's got you here for. Earn this. And I want to say today to every single one of you here, because we've all witnessed a miracle, truly. And I used to be envious of, like, the Hebrews as they crossed the Red Sea, because they got to see the Red Sea part. You know, they got to see a miracle. And yet they still faltered and stumbled along the way. We've seen a miracle. We've been party to something that shouldn't have happened but did. Earn this. Church, family, friends, earn this. If you're a believer, he's preserved you. Today, he's preserved you for his heavenly kingdom. And if you're not a believer, my goodness, why not? How could you watch what goes on around us and not? What more proof do you need than what you see sitting here before you today? What more proof do you need to see that tomorrow is promised to no one? What more proof do you need of the power of prayer than what we've seen? And I don't mean just this incident. We've seen it over and over again. If you are not a believer, one of the greatest testimonies to the miracles that God's performed in preserving life would be that through this very difficult process, somebody, even just one somebody else, came to know the Lord as Savior. If you're a believer, know this. You've been preserved. You are alive today on November the 6th of 2016 for a purpose. And I don't care if you're 16 or 60 or 96. If you're here, he's preserved you for a purpose. Pray diligently to find out what that purpose is, each one of you. And then get about the business of doing the work that he's set aside for you. We have a time of invitation at the end of every service. And I don't think I'm very good sometimes about explaining what the point is. But today we're going to sing a song. And I'm going to come down there, and Evan's going to come down here, and the deacons are prepared to come as well to pray with you. If you want to just offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. And again, I say, if you have nothing to be thankful for until this day, you got something to be thankful for. Maybe you want to come and just pray for God's guidance on what my purpose is. Why does he have me here? What does he want me to do? You may need to come and say this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know if I died right now, I would not spend my time in eternity with you. I need you, Lord, to forgive me of my sin, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I want to be preserved for your heavenly kingdom. Whatever the need is today, and again, I say this, I believe none of you are here accidentally, not one of you showed up. You may think you came for all these different reasons, but you're here because God called you here. And I pray that none of you leave this place with unfinished business. Let him stand by you as he stood by Paul, as he stood by me, as he stood by this family, as he stood by this community and this church. Let him stand by you as well. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, first of all, for helping me, Lord, to get to this point in the message. I thank you, Lord, for miracles that we see every day. And I know, God, today we're focused on one in particular, but, oh, Lord, there's miracles all around us. People who have been healed, people who have reconciled, people who have just made changes in their lives because of what you have done in their life. Lord, these two baptisms today are miracles, and I thank you for them. But, Lord, I really pray, fervently pray right now, that you remove any obstacles that might stand between somebody right now making a decision for you and help them, Lord, to do that. I pray, God, for this assembly that's here today, that none of us leave here without seeking what it is that you have for us to do. You've got us here for a purpose, Lord. Help us to seek it out. Help us to live it out. Lord, I just pray that again, nobody leaves here with unfinished business. And that, Lord, this miracle that we've been privileged to witness is a gift. And I pray that we earn it. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.